Liam today at all campuses. Come on, that's my grandson, man. I get one day a year, Father's Day, and what did I choose to do? Show my grandson. Again, give it up for all the dads at Faith Church today, at Weldon and Ferguson. Come on, Florida and RPC and Sunset Hills. Your Father's Day is so, so important, and it's actually kind of a lost art in really America today. We, you know, obviously we've always celebrated Mother's Day, and we, as we should, but Father's Day, it seems that a lot of times it just goes, if people do go to church, it's like the preacher beats them up, you know, and that's not what we do here. We uplift dads. We uplift the male that God created you to be. Come on, I want some real clapping in here today. I know the other campuses are doing me proud. And then before I get started, I want to give some shout-outs, you know, especially at Earth City. If you think today, if you're sitting there in that campus and you see all those, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people all the way back towards the bathrooms and all that, and you see these little ushers running around, Pastor Ree had an idea a couple of years ago, is some of these kids, they don't really have a male figure. They don't have a dad. They're being raised by a single mom. And so Tim Macklin and Phil Conley there got together and started training it. And literally, we have about 5 to 10 little guys about this big running around, and they are full on ushers. And the same thing is happening. Go ahead, give it up. Nia and Ryan followed suit there, and Steve Johnson, Robert Brown, and Bruce Holman there at the Ferguson campuses are doing the same thing. So I really, really love it that our church is not just about, you know, hey, we go to church, we run in, and we run out. We got people who are filling that father position. And so, again, one more time, give it up for all the strong males at our church. Being a man.
And then some of you at some of our locations today, maybe you find yourself in a different situation. Maybe your grandma, your auntie, your mom, you're a single mom today, and you are playing both roles. And we just want you to know, as you come in today, I know that there's two people here at our West Palm Beach and our Royal Palm campuses who have lost their husbands lately, and they found themselves in a new season. We want you to know that this is the place to have your kids, because they may not have their earthly father, or they may not have a present father, but Colin, how many of us know at all of our locations today, we serve a heavenly father, and that father can fill any gap. He can lead us, guide us, give us the provision. So today, maybe you walked in and you're like, man, my son doesn't have a dad, a father, my daughter, or my child doesn't have that figure. Well, that's why it's important to get them into church, because they need to be around those father figures.
And there's a scripture I wanted to put in all campuses. It's 1 Corinthians 4:15. You can take a picture of it if you want. It says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers in Christ. So there's people who will preach to you, and you're like, oh, that's really good, or watch this person on YouTube. There's nothing wrong with that, but they're teachers. But you need a father figure to speak into your life. And so today, I appreciate all the DMs this morning. As soon as I opened up my Instagram, I must have had 20 different DMs and people, you know, screenshotting me Starbucks cards and neat things. And I say thank you to all the spiritual sons and daughters of our house around the world who look to me in that regard.
In that case, he's buying Starbucks today. Yeah, amen, amen, always, amen.
Some things never change. Come on, somebody. I've got a couple of videos I want to show you, and here's the reason why I'm showing these videos. I'm not showing them to you because it's my grandson or family. I want to model, the Bible says, follow them who follow Christ. And if there was anything that I think my dad did really, really well, there was a lot, but there were some things he did really well, and it was that he did it together. He was all about, if I'm going, you're going. And I made up a statement now. Some of you even probably know this. You hear me talk about it. My family, I got all their names on my arm. And I always say, you can't break up a collector set, right? So I go, hey, Ashton, if you're going to Nashville and you're mad, I'm going to Nashville with you. She writes songs for all really cool people. And if Nicole's going here, I'm going there. If MJ, my daughter-in-law, is going somewhere. And I really think that we've lost the art, especially because of technology. We're all together, but we're not always together. And I'm not throwing stones, because a lot of times we'll all be together, but we'll be on our phone, but we're all together on our phone, rather than everybody running off to their own spaces. And I'm telling you, there's real value. Listen to me, at every campus, there's real value in doing life together. My dad taught me, he said, you're going to know the difference between a straight screwdriver and a Phillips screwdriver. Yeah, he would be working on his car. That's a pliers. This is a vice grip, you know. That's a hammer, you moron. Go back and get that. He was speaking to me. He didn't always do it right, but he did the best he could, and him being present was everything. So if there was one thing I really want you to take away, Dad, this weekend, is to say, hey, let's do it together. Everybody shout, let's do it together. Now, I wanted to impress upon you, too, it's not always going to be fun. There's times, have you ever, like, loved your kids a lot, but you loved them more when you weren't with them? You're like, I really like missing you. Come on, nobody's going to judge you. Raise your hand at every campus. You're like, I really do. Like, Nicole today, she texts me. She's in, I don't even know, Washington, D.C. She texts me and said, oh, I miss you so bad. She would have never said that if she was with me today. Oh, I can't wait to see you. She would have never said that. When she was getting ready to leave, she's like, rah, 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 rah. Because absence makes the heart grow. So I'm not, so anyway, the fact is, my point is, it's hard. So yesterday, I believe it was, we went to the mall. In fact, I want to be buried at the mall so my wife and kids come and see me. And I took a video on purpose so I could show Liam how he was acting like 20 years from now. Now, this is him. He just didn't want to wear shoes. Watch how serious this gets. I know they have the video. It's him crying at the mall. He doesn't want to wear shoes. Isn't that awesome? When you're bigger, I'll show this to you. Okay. How many ever been that way at the mall? You couldn't act that way, but you felt that way. Come on, every campus, right? So I wasn't enjoying that moment. Now, there's another one. Like, this is less than an hour later. Watch how he acts now. He's eating ice cream. They have this. Watch. This is the 1 hour later.
Say thank you, Papa. Liam, can you say thank you? He's having a camera.
This is called raising kids. Come on, give it up for raising kids, right? Ah! Then you're licking ice cream cone, right? So my point in showing that to you was to let you know, your job and my job is to say, through the good times, through the bad times, through the crying, through the yelling, through the you're the greatest dad in the world, you're the greatest mom in the world, we all got to stay together because we are a collector's set. Come on, give it up for being a collector's set and learning these principles in God's house.
I think one thing I've learned, my son, that was my son, which we're still working on him, okay? Pray for him. He needs salvation.
Like his mother.
Okay? He's acting just like his mother. No, I'm just, I can get away with that. It's Father's Day, right? No,
we can't do anything today.
Every mom in here was like, really? 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 But our kids won't do what we say. They do what we do. And it's so important to make sure we're getting our kids in church. You know, I was thinking about it the other day is as I grow older, everybody remember when you were 13 and you knew everything? Maybe it was just me. And I remember when I was younger, I was like, my parents should listen to me. But it's funny, as I get older, the smarter my dad looks. Like, I'm like, hey, you know what? What would you do in this situation? I think I text Pastor David more now than I ever have before. I'm like, hey, help me out here. He's like, you should know this by now. You're 33, man. Come on. I thought you had it figured out at 16.
That's when they killed Jesus at 33, so it's a very dangerous year.
You know what? I think I just got a page. I need to know. But I want to give you a few different just interesting stats. And this is why it's so important, moms and dads, to make sure we have those father figures in our lives. It's actually crazy that Father's Day, on average, across the capital C church, is one of the lowest attended days across the church every year. Let that set in. I mean, it's kind of heavy, you know, but that's where we're at. But while Mother's Day is the third highest attended service on average in the world, that's second to Easter and Christmas. And with that, out of those homes, we find that if a child comes with a mom to church, one in 50 will attend church and grow in Christ as an adult. But if the dad brings the children, even if the mom is not present, 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 will have a relationship as adult when they grow up. How crazy is that stat, though? 1 in 50 if mom brings them, but if dad brings them, even without mom, 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. What's amazing, it makes me think about my son. That's the importance of getting them into tots, into faith kids, because not only do we need to bring them with us, but we need to get them around some other kids. Mom, if you don't have that father figure in your life, and you are that father figure, you need to get them in the house, like we said earlier, to be around some other dads, to be around some of those father figures to see this is what guys do. We come to church. Come on, can I get an amen? We serve in church. We go to groups. We're in groups. We raise our hands in worship. And it's important to have that strong
That's why figure. I love, and I shouted out a minute ago, and there's ushers at every campus. The ushers at our church are a good male figure to say, every week when I come here, I see Carlos. Carlos owns a heating and air conditioning company. He's very busy. He's a successful man. His wife is here as well, Cece. Ceci, I get it messed up. Ceci,
got a Ceci over there, too.
Ceci.
We got a Ceci and a Ceci. CC.
If we, all right. So at any rate, my point is that these business guys realize that, you know what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as the man goes, so does the whole family. And so they're modeling that. Come on, give it up for all the guys again at the campuses.
So why do we give you some of these stats and talk through that? Because the impact dads have on a kid's faith is huge. And not only that, it's amazing. Pastor David always says this. You may have not came from a good family, but a good family can come from you. I hear from so many different people, I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a mom. Yo, we all trying to figure it out. Like, I got a 2.5-year-old, and you see what he's doing in the midst of the mall. Like, but it's important, again, when we get in, it's about when we get into the environment. Have you ever seen when you're in a certain environment, you even change? We need to get our kids into these prayer-conditioned environments so that they can learn in the Word, so it gets in their heart, where in the day they need it, he said that it will be ingrained in them.
That's what the Bible says, too. I know we're quoting the Bible a lot, but we're in church, if that's okay. The Bible says to teach and train your children in the way they should go, and you finish the rest. What's it say?
When they get old, they will not depart.
And you might be new to this faith thing in the Bible, but it says when they get old, they will not depart. It didn't say that they wouldn't depart. It says when they get old, they won't depart. So you might be in a season right now where you taught them right and you raised them right, and they're out working on their testimony. But they're going to come back with a testimony to say, you know what, Mom, you were right. Dad, you were right. You're better as one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. While the ushers and greeters and all the people that make Faith Church go, when I think about Greg Crane at Sunset Hills today and all those team members that are there working every single weekend, they're there doing what God called them to do. And someday when we get to heaven, how many of y'all want to go to heaven someday? How many if there's a bus going today? Not today. Raise your hand. Not today. But someday when you get to heaven, God's going to look at us and he's going to go, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And so we can be really busy providing for our kids cool shoes. By the way, Dom, jump up here. Maybe climb up there. I want to show Dom. So Dom is from St. Louis. Dom came all the way to Florida to give me these Father's Day shoes. Come on, somebody. I changed last night and I put it there. So let that be a notice to everybody. You're supposed to get your father something. Because I can't grow a beard like this. Come on, give it up for Dom. There's another way out, however you want to do it. But my point is you have spiritual sons and fathers in the house, okay? And just because, and I hate saying this because my daughter-in-law doesn't like when I say it. But I think it brings a great point. Austin, I got Austin when he was 7, okay? So he had his big people teeth, his little people teeth. He's like, can I call you Papa? And I'm like, your mama calls me Big Daddy Boy. Call me what you want to call me. But at any rate,
I've been hearing that joke since I was 12, and it's still embarrassing, all right? Still plush, okay? Woo! Is it hot in here? Anybody else?
By the way, that's not the part MJ doesn't want me telling. The part sometimes is just she doesn't want Austin, and I don't think he feels this way at all. I got him when he was 7, so he wasn't biologically mine, which works well for the church because there's sons and daughters at this house. There's people on our staff. There's people that are serving that they're like, man, I bet I would get a different treatment if I was your son. No, listen, I raised him in the house of God. Nicole raised him in the house of God, and this is how he turned out. So I'm telling you that you might not biologically be the son of this house, but I want to tell you today, come on, somebody, come to church. I'm your dad. Be at church on time. Be at worship on time. Brush your teeth. Make your bed. Learn the difference between a Phillips and a straight screwdriver. Let's learn together so we can build the house of God, because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I'm betting on the church. How about you? And I'm betting on some guys standing up and being real men of God and saying, we still open doors for ladies. Come on. And we still say, yes, sir. And we still say, yes, ma'am. And we still don't cut through other people's lawns. And we don't lie. And we tell the truth. Somebody ought to shout amen to me today. I had to stand up for that part. I just felt it.
I want to know where I need a rag up here. I sweat and I get my preach rag. Something I've learned is you can't control their actions, but you can control your reaction to their actions. And I was the kid doing that on the other side. And the Bible talks about the story of the parable son. And when he was coming home, I learned so much because right now I'm trying to learn to respond versus react. Anybody remember when, if you had kids or if you have kids, like when they were 2 and 3, like they don't understand, but it's like your first reaction may be like, what are you doing? But you're like, oh, you obviously don't understand. Hey, bud, we don't do that, you know? And I'm working on it right now because his outcomes are going to be off how he receives. I want to say it again. Our outcomes will be on how we receive. And it's not just how we correct and direct our kids. It's how we're allowing God to correct and direct us. When we come in the house, we can have different outcomes if we would allow God to come in and redirect our heart. Well, God, why would you ask me to do this? He's saying, I asked you to walk by faith and not by sight. And if we sow those seeds today, our legacy can sow on or reap on them tomorrow. But if we're not sowing seeds of faith, if we're not showing them what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, how will they know in the day of adversity who they can count on, who their strong foundation is, and who they can turn to? But it starts with us saying, hey, it's not going to be a reaction. This is how we respond. This is how we're going to do this thing.
I love it how you said the heart. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. At every campus, shout this with me. On your hearts.
On your hearts.
Shout it again. What, class?
On your hearts.
Impress them upon your children. Mm-hmm. There's a grandfather, and I guarantee you today, he's at Sunset Hills. He's always there. I always think he lives in Washington, Missouri, and I forget. By the way, there's thousands of you guys, and so I can't remember where everybody lives and everybody's names. But he's kind of a gray head guy, solid, looks like the all-American grandfather. And every Sunday at Sunset Hills, I guarantee you he'll be there this morning at the first service, he sits in the second section near the TV cameras there, and there he will be. And there he has a grandson that looks like he cloned this dude. His head looks the same. His hair is blonde, not gray, but they look like identical twins separated at birth, okay? And then he's holding him, and then there's his wife. And then he always tells me this. Look down the row. There's my whole family. There's my daughter, adult daughter. There's my adult son-in-law. He's got a whole row, and I can tell he's the most proud dad in the world. And I want to give a shout-out to that guy saying, what was on my heart, I impressed to my children. Somebody ought to shout amen. And they impressed it to their children. And they're not just saying, oh, Grandpa, you know, he goes to church. He does that Jesus thing. I'm glad that church thing worked out for you. Have you ever had people tell you that? Like, I'm glad the church thing works out for you. It's kind of like, you like Starbucks coffee, I like Dunkin' Donuts. No, we're not talking about that. I like both of those, by the way. Come on, give God praise for that. God, we thank you for Starbucks. We thank you for Dunkin' Donuts, God. I thank you for even the Dunkin' Donut rolls. Whoever thought, God, to press the hole in the donut and sell them individually, Jesus, only you could have done that. That is your wisdom and your direction. Can I get an amen there? Okay. But this isn't Starbucks versus Dunkin' Donuts, y'all. This is heaven or hell. This is life or death. This is principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. I'm telling you right now, we have to impress this upon our kids. So here, what's that mean? Like, what's on my heart? How do I impress it upon my kid? Well, it goes on to say, talk about this when you sit at home, when you walk down the road, when you lie down, you get up. Tie them as symbols around your hands, bind them upon your foreheads. What this means is when Austin was little, I would tell him stuff. Now, you got to remember when he was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, we were building what now is the biggest church in St. Louis, okay? So I am head down. We're fighting cities. We're fighting legislation. We're fighting bureaucracy. We're fighting devils. The church is growing at 13% a week. That means that every Sunday morning in St. Louis, 13% more people came that Sunday than the next. That means that every Sunday, I'm going from 4 services to 5 services to I'm preaching 8 live services. This means your building's not big enough. Then we buy Earth City. Then we buy Sunset Hills. Then we buy Weldon. Then we decide we're going to move to Florida and do it here too. And so now we're doing all this head down. But I would point to him anytime I could and tell him, look what God's doing. And I wasn't saying I'm working on my career. I would go, Austin, you're going with me. And even when Ashton was little, I would be telling her stuff about church that was way over her head. But I wanted her to know, hey, someday in life, people are going to tell you, you know, it was hard being a preacher's kid. It would be hard being a car salesman's kid. It would be hard being successful because wherever dad was going to be, I would be successful and it was going to take a lot of time. But here's the kicker. Because I've created my own culture, you get to be with me. So you're going to work today. So I would point out to him, and I'm already doing it with my grandson on Friday when I was with him in the ocean. I looked at him and he doesn't even know what I'm saying yet. But I go, isn't it really cool that your grandpa has a job that in the middle of the day I could be with you? And he's like, wah, wah. He doesn't know, but I'm training him how to think so later he doesn't say, my grandfather was too busy. No, I'm talking about the goodness of God. I'm talking about that God provided for us. I'm saying, look, God saved us and took us through COVID. Look what God did, brought your dad and mom together, and they were pretty, so you're pretty. Always take it back to God. Somebody ought to give God praise today. This is what it means. And this is where Austin says too, like sometimes like you know, the air baloney, I think you said last night.
Yeah, so many times we forget the stories of the foundation of our past, of how we got here today. But it's up to us to make sure we tell that story. Because what I don't want is my son to not know where he came from. Son, you got to work for what you got. Like this doesn't just, it isn't given to you. And here's where we started, here's where we're at, and here's where we're going. The Bible said we would go faith to faith, victory to victory, glory to glory. Like anybody want to go faith to faith? Like I don't want to go to the mountaintop and then go to the valley. I don't want, now life can look like that, but we aren't called to stay in the valley. Pastor David told me a long time ago, Austin, you're either up or getting back up. You're never down. It's a mindset that we have to teach ourselves that, hey, this may be the current situation, but this isn't where I'm going, and it isn't where I'm called to be. And I think it starts with this, though, is we have to understand, many know it as inheritance, but we know it as legacy. Legacy is not about what we have on earth. It's really about an EROI, which stands for eternal return on investment. I don't just want to build a big business, big church, big house, have a lot of money. I want to see my family when I get to eternal life. I want to have my family next to me in their house and then their house. And if you don't know heaven, that's what it looks like. We will be there in eternity together. And one of the things that Pastor David has always said is legacy isn't about leaving something to them. It's about imparting something in them. And so let's talk about those air baloney stories. Let's talk about those jump baby Dave jump stories. And if you've never heard that, it's believing that God can heal you. So does the next generation know that God is a healer? He is our provider. He is Abba Father, that he is loving and authoritative at the same time. But he gives us this outline of, hey, let's set this foundation. It says that it's a firm foundation, but it's really built on the stories of our faith from you and I and our for generations to come.
I want you to read that one about the my dad drew wrote a camel, because I love that, because it's like Austin saying, if we don't understand where we came from. In fact, I was in Washington, D.C. Years and years and years ago under several different administrations, and I was walking through the halls there in D.C., and it said, when an institution or a government forgets its hard beginnings, it's beginning to decay. And I was you know, young, but I took a picture of it because it made sense to me. Because if we forget where we came from, then we could possibly actually lose where we're at. And so it's very important, as you are blessed. How many of y'all are more blessed than you were when you were a kid, right? Because I was eating air baloney. I never had shoes like this. I mean, when I got shoes, I took them off and I took care of them. When I got a bike, I waxed it because I didn't have anything. Anybody come from that, right? So my daughter, she'll just leave. Oh, there's my Gucci bag and my Prada bag and my blah, blah, blah. And they leave. Well, there's this Chanel bag. And they just throw them around. And I got to remind them, hey, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. It just popped up in my head. Baby, you don't know what it's like. Come on. Come on, give yourself a hand for being such an old person. All the young people are like, what's that? That's an old song right there. It's our day. It's Father's Day. We're bringing out the old songs. Back when music was good. Come on, somebody. Back when music had it going on. By the way, the music is better now than it was then. But the camel thing, where are we at?
Yeah, so this is from the founder of Dubai. And when asked about his country, his reply was this. My grandfather rode a camel. My father rode a camel. I ride a Mercedes. My son rides a Land Rover. My grandson will ride a Land Rover. But my great-grandson will ride a camel again. And I think it just becomes, he said this, and I'll read the rest of it and I'll explain it. But he said, hard times create strong men, and strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men, and weak men create difficult times. Many will not understand it, but you have to raise a warrior, not a parasite. He said when asked about great empires, he said if you study the great empires, they failed after 200 years, and it was never the outside things that tore them down. It was the inside things. He said they
were. That sound like our country right now?
Yeah. He said they were not conquered by external enemies. They were rotted from within. And I think it's wild because if you think, well, look at my family. No, no, no. Let's not look outside. Let's look inside. The things we can control are we can get into church. We can get into God's word. We can believe by faith and not by sight. We can understand that we will eat the good of the land that he has promised us. That he said we are blessed to be a blessing. That we are going somewhere. Come on, anybody thankful that we serve a God that has a blessing over our lives, that believes in us, that if we would just walk by faith, we will see everything we are called to see. We will take all the land we are called to take. We don't have to ride a camel.
I've always wanted to ride a camel, though. How about you? Is it not like as my form of transportation, but how many of y'all think it'd be neat for us to all go on vacation again and ride a camel somewhere? That's good stuff, isn't it? I want to show a picture of Austin when I first got him. Here it is. This is me and him on a motorcycle. So that's Austin. There he is. That's in Baldwin, Missouri. And you can take it down now so he doesn't feel pain. He's such a cute kid. Austin was at a point in his life to where, by the way, his dad might be watching today, and I want to talk about Curtis Schuler and Austin's biological dad. He is one of the most phenomenal dads I've ever seen in my life. He's so good to Austin. He was always teaching Austin about sports and helped him go through college, bought Austin his first car. He's just a phenomenal dad to not only Austin, but he has two a brother and a sister, putting them through college, he and Gina. Could you give it up for Austin's biological dad, who's probably watching today? Phenomenal human. Great guy. It was a difficult time for me, and let's talk about blended families for a minute, because I meet Nicole, I'm in love with her, and I was, oh my gosh, you're gorgeous. I wasn't in love with her, I was in lust with her, let's be truthful. And but I realized, I fell in love with her eventually, but woo, come on, somebody. By the way, everybody's like initials is on my arm. But Nicole, her whole name is Omar. Come on, somebody. Tattoo on heart for tattoo on arm, okay? So Austin, I get him, and he's learning all these things that his biological dad is teaching him, which is great about sports. I think sports is great. As a result, at the end, Austin ends up knowing everything about sports, plays professional sports in college because of everything his biological dad taught him. But now he reads his Bible in the morning while ESPN is playing in the background. Come on, somebody. You see, this is a unique kind of guy. Come on, raise your hand if this makes sense to you. But so I love that. But the neat part about it is some people are just all sports-minded with their kids. Dads do this. Hey, mom's going to teach you about Jesus. I'm going to teach you about sports. Mom's going to teach you about Jesus. I'm going to teach you about the ladies. You probably don't know much about the ladies, Dad. Come on. So we need to learn what it's like to know a woman of God and treat a woman of God and to attract a woman of God and to bring out the results. Somebody ought to give God praise today. So with the blended part of the family, with Austin at that point in his life, he would say stuff to his mom like, hey, can I spend the night with Dave? And she said, yes. And, of course, I was smart because I was, like, sucking up to him because if you get the calf, you get the cow. Come on, somebody. She's not, hopefully she doesn't see this. That never happened. No. So Nicole and I started dating. Next thing you know, we get married. And then Austin became this kid that was raised in, some of you are there right now, where you're like, oh, Dad don't want him. And it wasn't that Kurt didn't want him to go to church. It was just that Kurt didn't prioritize church at all. He prioritized ball, which is fine. Then I would pull back over here and not notice how I'm esteeming Kurt. I'm loving Kurt. The first thing I thought was, oh my gosh, there's the guy that slept with my wife. No, that's not the guy that slept with my wife. That's the guy that slept with his girlfriend. Come on, somebody. Now I married her, and now they made this kid, which is phenomenal. Now they're over at our house, you know, years and years later. It's just the truth. We all spend holidays together, Thanksgiving together. He texts me this week, hey, we're coming to your house on the 4th of July. I tell him all the time, I wish you guys would have messed up and had 4 kids because I'd made 4 preachers. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So never look at the other person as a bad, somebody can't handle me today. Don't look at the other person as a bad person. God works all things together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So bring me your kids. I'll make preachers out of them. Bring the church a little usher and we'll turn them into a man of God. Somebody ought to get excited today about the church of Jesus and about this mindset. Oh, we put some organ on it even. Okay, we went to church there.
Just got holy.
I want you to talk about, I know it's off script a little bit, but the dynamic of parenting and the way you felt it, because there's a lot of people there right now that's like, okay, I'm the real dad, but like even with him, I discipline him, I'm like, I can't spank him. I mean, his dad might sue me. I don't know. So I always talk to him, and Austin didn't need much anyway.
Well, I think a lot of things, because a lot of us maybe are in blended families. Today, I think the new stat is 75% of families are blended. And so as you're in a blended family, or maybe you aren't, it's good understanding that I remember when I would fly to my dad, he lived in Dallas, and they lived in St. Louis. And when I was a really little kid, I would come home, and I would always have these emotional reactions when I would leave, and I'd be crying and be like, I miss my dad, because I would get a couple weeks with him, and then I would be back in St. Louis, and I lived majority time with them because that's where I went to school. And I remember in the moment it hurt, But now I look back and I look at all the pain I went through, and it actually gave me complete understanding of, wow, I looked at it all wrong. Because I had the opportunity to have two father voices speaking into my life. And what looked like pain was actually purpose to really raise me up to understand how to father. So maybe you're, I want to talk to those kids for a second. Maybe you're a kid of a blended family. You don't have a father present. You don't have a mother present. Don't look at that as pain. Reflip the script and start looking at it as purpose. Because I think what a few things we can learn is this. One, I don't want my kid to go through this, so here's the decisions I'm going to make. Hey, I don't want them to ever feel that way, but if they do, here's how I can meet them where they are. And I think one of the things when I look back, the greatest pain was the greatest purpose, and it helped me become who I am today.
Wow. Off script, but come on, give it up one more time. That was so well said, because there's a lot of young people at our church today that need to hear that. One last picture I want to show you. Now, this is my family together on this motorcycle, right? So here's what I'd like to do. And I started with it. It's like a bookend, and I'm ending with this. Time with each other is the most valuable thing you can ever get. At the end of your life, you're not going to lay on a bedside. And I've sat beside so many people as they're taking their last breath as a pastor. And I've never heard them say, hey, look, PD, look at how much money I got in the bank. Hey, you know, look at my car. Hey, look at my yacht. Hey, look at my horse. Hey, they never do that. Mm-hmm. They're doing two things. One, they want to make sure they're right with Jesus. Because they know heaven or hell. And they'll look at me and go, man, are you sure about this, man? Tell me that story one more time. Because I get a lot of new believers saved. And they served the devil their whole life. And I remember Dave Munganass there in St. Louis, all the big car dealerships, Dave Munganass, he was dying. And I was out of town. And then they called and said, hey, Dave wants to see you. We actually think he's waiting to die till he sees you. So I went to the hospice hospital, which is unbelievable. And there's his name above it because he built it. Squazillionaire there in St. Louis in the Lake of the Ozarks. And I ended up climbing up in bed with Dave, talking to him and his wife, talking about his life. Talking about how he's in the Guinness Book of World Record for these motorcycle jumps and goes on to build this great empire of a business. But at the end of the day, what he wanted to know about and what I wanted to make sure he knew about was, hey, yes, heaven's real and Jesus is real. And you, even though you did all these bad things and then in the last moments of time you gave your heart to Jesus, that's what really matters. And after he had waited like a week to see me, they called me the next morning and said, right after you left, he left. And I'm here to tell you, that's the question they ask. Number one is, am I right with God? Yeah. Then number two, what they usually ask is to see their family. Right. So the way I look at it, you don't have to look at the same way, but I like this picture, and I pulled it up just to kind of sum up. I have a collector set, and I do life together. So if MJ, my daughter-in-law, calls and says she's having a bad day, I'm dropping everything. If my daughter has a problem, I'm dropping everything. If Nicole says, hey, I need to talk to you right now, I'm dropping everything, because what really matters is not an empire. It's not money. It's about being there for the people that love you, and you show them love, time, and commitment. Sure, you can buy them a dress, and they're going to like it. Sure, you can buy them a car, and they're going to like it. Sure, you can buy them, you can take them. But the time together is everything. So this means that this makes you the most wealthy person in the world, because you may never have money, but the one thing you have is 24 hours in a day. And today could be the day that you actually get on the phone and drive your kids crazy and just talk to them, not about what you want. And here's the key, not about how they need to change. You need to talk about who they are, what you see they are, and they'll start rising up to the level that you speak into them. You get what you brag on. Come on, I'm almost done. Not what you nag on. So if my kids, I teach them all the time. All the time they have to hear stories. Here's this. Walk into a Starbucks, walk into someplace, and it's a mess. And I go, hey, bad management. See the trash can? See the light out? I'm always teaching them. But never do they tell me, Dad, you're always teaching me. Because I point out to them, I'm teaching you so that you can be the leader that God's called you to be. And again, this is why you go to church. Today, you're learning principles. I taught you, and we taught you a lot about the Bible. But at the same time, what I want to do is to say, hey, God can heal that relationship between you and your adult kids or you and your younger kids. But it takes time. Time is a healer, and sometimes you've got to invest back into people a good while because we did it wrong. We were, as Austin said earlier, we were reacting. And have you ever seen a little kid at a mall or somewhere, and the dad swung his arm, and then all of a sudden he did this, and you could tell that the child had been abused? Raise your hand if you've seen that, right? How many of you have been that kid? No, I'm just kidding. But You can tell how kids react and respond to scenarios and situations, and it all usually goes back to the father. They say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, the same thing. If daddy ain't happy, usually ain't nobody happy, because it starts at home. So dad, be present. Mom, be present. Love each other. I charge you with this today. Love each other. Talk about it. We read it a minute ago. Talk about it in your house. Talk about the goodness of God. Keep worship music playing in your house. And even when you don't feel saved, act saved. Get up and go to the Ferguson campus. Go to the Wilden campus. People living in Troy. People living 150 miles. Some people in Sunset Hills, they actually live so far from church, they bought an RV. If you see today, if you see a huge fifth wheel outside the church today, they drive up on Saturday night, go to church, sing in the worship, and there's a generator running on this big fifth wheel travel trailer out there. And then this morning they got up, and they do that every week. I told them, did you buy that to go camp? And they go, no, we bought it to go to church, because a church alive is worth the drive. And their family will never be the same because of this. So as we go, I want everybody to stand, but nobody moving around. And I want Austin to lead us in prayer right now. And I have a couple questions. As you're standing, nobody leaving. We don't leave till the campus pastor says amen. We don't want to go to a movie and watch a four-hour movie and watch the deleted scenes and then get to heaven and God shows you that video where you left church early. Come on, somebody. But the Avengers movie, you're like, I stayed for the whole thing. So how many would say today that there were some things today that you saw out of this sermon that you're like, I can implement that in my life and I can bring about a change? Raise your hand at every campus. We can see you. Austin will pray.
Father, we just thank you right now. God, we thank you that you are Abba Father. That means you are a loving, authoritative Father. That God, that you are for us, that you are gracing us, that you are covering us. But God, also that you said whatever we ask in your name, that it would be ours. So God, as we came in today and we heard this teaching, God, maybe it really identified with some of our situations, some of our homes of where we're at, and no matter if we're here in one of our locations or online. But today, God, we can choose to have a different mindset to say, you know what, here's how I'm going to be a father. Here's what I'm going to believe God for. God, I thank you that we are collector set as a church family. Some people probably heard that and thought, I would love to have a connector set. You have a connect. You have one right here. Your collector set is your church family. There's a family of origin and a family of choice. So my family today is the usher team I serve on. My family today is the parking team I serve on. My family today is the load in, load out crew who got here at 5:30 a.m. God, I thank you that we are here in your house, that we have a heavenly Father that loves us. You love us so much, though, that you will not leave us where we are. As we leave these campuses today, as we leave our churches today, God, that you are for us and not against us. Whatever we ask, Father, you said it will be ours. We declare healing. We declare provision. We declare clarity of vision of what's ahead. You said that you would lead us and guide us in the way we should go. That we know it is still 2023, and with 2023, it's a better me in 23. God, we are getting better every single day, and we receive that today in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you believe it across all locations today, can you give God a shout of praise? Come on, Royal Palm, Earth City, Sunset, Weldon, Ferguson online. Well, I tell you what, I do want to do this before I know we're going to hear an incredible offering testimony, but can we do this? The father of this house is one of my favorite people, and I love showing honor where honor is due. Come on, can we give it up for Pastor David today? Come on, it's Father's Day. He's our spiritual father. So many of you are like me, and I'm just so thankful, but we're a house of honor, and I just wanted to do that. He didn't know I was going to do it, and here's why. You don't see how much he and Pastor Nicole pray for you. Oh, I'm trying not to cry. You don't see how much they're believing for you. You don't see how much they are just really trying to bring clarity of vision for all that God has, not for them, but for you, and you, and you, and you. Come on, one more time. Can we give it up for the father of this house, Pastor David? Happy Father's Day.